Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, God's grace and peace be to you. In the past two sermons, based on Romans chapter 6 and 7, you've heard me speak much of the freedom that our Lord Jesus has given to us. By his death and resurrection and our baptism into them, Jesus has set us free from sin's power to dominate and enslave us to unbelieving rebellion against God. Jesus has also set us free from the law's ever accusing finger, pointing to us and showing us our sins, because in Christ we have the forgiveness for all our sins. Christ has freed us from these things in order to enable us to live in right relationship with God by faith, and with our neighbors through loving service. Through Jesus, we are free to believe and to love now and forever. Well, this might lead us to wonder why things are the way they are today in our world and in the church and even in our own lives. If freedom is ours through Jesus, why do so many people persist in rejecting Jesus in favor of other gods? Why is the church not more of a force of good in the world? And why don't we live better lives than we do? In today's epistle reading from Romans 7, Paul answers the third of those questions. He invites us, in fact, right into his own daily life through the words of Romans chapter 7. He describes his life of faith in Jesus as one of intense struggle. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my actions. For I do not do what I want, but the very thing I do is the thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, sin lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Now, some readers of Romans chapter 7 have been rather disappointed by Paul's admissions in this reading, wanting to believe that being free in Christ now means a complete escape from sin in this life. They have claimed that this confession of Paul's must describe his experience before he was a Christian. Otherwise, where is the victory or the freedom he proclaimed earlier? The problem with that, though, is that in our reading today, we can see for ourselves that Paul expresses himself in the present tense, not in the past tense. He describes his life of faith in Jesus, not his life before his conversion. And his words do carry the ring of truth, especially when we compare them to our own experience in life. Believing in Jesus means living by the power of the Holy Spirit in the possession of God's gifts of forgiveness and eternal life, to be sure. But God has not translated us from earth to heaven, nor has he transformed us completely from lost and condemned sinners to whole and holy saints. God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake and gives us grace to live our lives as new lives, even as we live as people who still bear the fallen image of Adam within. We are at the same time both saints and sinners, who both have the Holy Spirit living in us and still have the sinful nature with which we were all born. That's why Paul speaks here about the life of faith being an intense struggle, a struggle within. God calling us, sin weakening us. We're always in danger of being blindsided by temptation and sin. Selfishness and lust, pride and greed, anger, and every other sin stick to our hearts like tree sap to our hands. Because we have been given the Holy Spirit, these things alarm us, and we hate the evil thoughts that jump out from the shadows of our minds. We regret the things we have said and done that have dishonored God and hurt our neighbors. We long to be able to consistently resist the devil and serve the Lord gladly in our lives. But our record is subpar at best. And if we spend enough time examining ourselves in the light of God's law, we will see, as Paul said, that nothing good dwells within us, that is, within our flesh. What becomes then of the freedom Paul proclaimed, won for us by Jesus, as we do daily battle with sin, death, and the devil, and our own fallen nature? Can we really hope to stand against such dark strength? Paul wondered the same thing as he considered the mess that sin made of his life. And he cried, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Where does our help come from? Not from the hills to which the writer of Psalm 121 lifted his eyes, and not simply from trying to say no to Satan and yes to God each day. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and our Redeemer from sin, death, and the devil. And God helps us through his word. Through it, God speaks to us in sermons we hear, in scriptures we read, in absolutions spoken by pastors, and encouragement given to us by other Christians, and through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The word reminds us that sin is no longer our master. We died with Jesus to sin's power and rose with him to new life when we were baptized. God's forgiveness assures us that the law's accusations have been fully answered by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and it spurs us on to love and do good works for our family, our friends, even our enemies. Jesus has set us free to be God's children forever. What great love the Father has shown us in this. God's freedom is ours. We hold it by faith in his promises of grace, fulfilled by Jesus. We don't always feel free. We don't always see the evidence of freedom, our freedom from sin and death, as we look at our lives. But we believe God's word. And we consider ourselves to have died to sin and to be alive to God through Jesus our Savior. We trust God's word, and so we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We depend on God's word, and we strive to live by God's commands. We rest in God's word, and so we repent of our sins, the sins that the law reveals to us in our lives, And we rejoice in the forgiveness that is ours because Jesus died for us. And we hope in God's word. For he has promised us complete holiness when he raises us from the dead and makes us to stand before him in the presence of all of his redeemed saints forever free. Remember Abraham? When Abraham arrived in Canaan, the land that God had promised him, he was in for a disappointing surprise. For he discovered that the land that God had promised to him as his own was already inhabited by lots of people. Bethel, Shechem, Sodom, and Gomorrah, these were just a few of the cities that were filled with people who already claimed some of that territory as their home. Now imagine Abraham meeting a citizen of Bethel. And in conversation, the man asks him where he's come from. And he says, well, I've come most recently from Haran, but before that, Ur of the Chaldees. And the man from Bethel says, wow, that's a long trip you've made. What gave you the thought to come all this way? And imagine Abraham saying, well, God promised me that this is the land he's chosen for me. Can you imagine the citizen of Bethel listening to that and holding back a laugh and finally saying, you and what army is going to take this land from us? What could Abraham say? He couldn't very well say, I'm going to do it. He did have a fairly large group of servants in his household, but they certainly weren't a group with might to drive out all the people that were living in Canaan in that day. All really that Abraham could say was, God made me this promise, and he'll keep it as he sees fit. It is my land, whether I live to take possession of it myself, or whether my descendants do. Are we really free from sin and death and Satan and from the law's accusations? Yes, but not because we already live pure and holy lives here in this world ourselves, but because God has promised that his dear Son lived and died and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to make it so in our lives. And God will keep his promise to us as he sees fit. So we can rely on it and live by it every day as his forgiven children and as heirs of eternal life, waiting for our hope to be fulfilled, that God's promise of freedom will be completely fulfilled when we rise from the dead to live with our Lord forever. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, his Lord, our Lord, indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mine through Christ Jesus our Lord.